This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Let's get cute on Joy 94.9.
So I'm in studio with Katie from Listen. Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
But just in case anyone's unaware, would you mind letting us know what Listen is? Because it's kind of a whole bunch of stuff.
It's so much stuff, and it's grown into this big, beautiful octopus-like thing over time. It's like so many arms coming out of Listen nowadays. I mean, when it started, Evelyn Morris's intention was really to archive and document women's experiences in the music industry, because they haven't really been archived very well. They definitely haven't been documented. Women are generally spoken about in all kinds of horrible, condescending ways when people talk about female artists, quite unlike how they talk about male artists. Also, people of varying genders, intersex people, transgender people, are pretty much left out of the conversation completely. So the aim of Listen is to really document LGBTIAQ+ people's experiences and women's experiences, and try to improve those experiences and increase experiences in the industry as well. Get more women and LGBTI people included.
Yep.
And having the confidence to run their own events and become musicians.
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of really has grown hugely. Was the GLBTIQ side of Listen sort of part of it from the beginning, or did that kind of blossom as you sort of went along? Because I know what I've seen of a lot of Listen in the media often focuses on the women thing as opposed to the GLBTIQ thing. So was it always sort of a dual purpose, or...?
I think in the very start, I haven't been with Listen since the very start. I've only been with it for about March or February, I'd say. I think, you know, from the start, Evelyn's primary intention was to kind of correct some of the writings that were being done about women. There was a book that came out called Noise in My Head, and she was mentioned in this book, and it's about the kind of noise scene, or what they call the ugly music scene. And when she was spoken about, you know, she was spoken about in a very different way to the men who were mentioned in this book, and it was very gendered, and that really grated her quite a lot. So the original intention was, hey, there's a really big difference between the way women are talked about and men are talked about, so I want to highlight these issues. And so, yeah, I think primarily it was women, and then I think pretty quickly she came to realise, hey, this is actually about all marginalised people. It's about all the minorities. It's people of colour. Feminism needs to be intersectional. It's not just about, you know, trying to improve the situation for women. It's everyone who is affected by the patriarchy, basically. We all need to be equal. It's lifting everyone at the same time. Not like, okay, women need to be the ones that we're actually fixing this for right now, and we'll get to you later, the rest of you guys.
Yeah.
It's like, no, if we all join this challenge together, we'll all get there at the same time.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's been really great to see how it's been received and how you've kind of blown up in a relatively short time, if you think about how often grassroots movements take their time to get some traction. How have you found controlling the momentum of Listen? Because when I was listening to you, I heard you on Hack, and I was just like struck with this thought that like you have a message to put out, and all, now it's been exposed to their audience of say a million people, and people want to get involved, but there can be things lost in translation along the way. Like, how do you make sure you stay on track?
It's actually, it's really hard. This is the first kind of advocacy project I've ever been involved with, and so I'm really quickly learning how easily your words can be taken out of context with things. People write about you, the projects that you're involved with, and then it gets taken up by another larger media, and they'll have their own kind of messaging, their own story that they want to associate with it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to control that and go, no, that's not the core of this project. We're actually this. And so it is really hard to control, one, the rate at which that kind of happens, because, I mean, in relation to the Sexual Harassment Task Force, that kind of just exploded. It took one article written by Jenny Valentish, who's a Listen member. She wrote an article for The Age about experience I had at Yaya's and a few other people's experiences, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was posted on the Listen page and it just exploded, and next thing... we've got this great network of people pouring their resources and their experience into the conversation. And Helen Marcoux chimes in and says, I sit on the live music roundtable in Victoria. I think we should ask for a task force and we could affect some policy. And then next thing, we're sitting on a task force for the Victorian government. And it happened incredibly quickly. And I mean, Helen's experience in it, but there's a bunch of us who we're just kind of picking things up as we go along.
And very hectic baptism by fire.
Yeah.
The sounds of it.
But in a really exciting way, because it's the most exciting kind of cultural change that I can see happening in my immediate surroundings within the community that I work in and that I play in. I can honestly see a cultural shift happening out of this, which is just a really exciting thing to be involved with.
In terms of, I guess, things that you're working on at the moment to affect this change, what are the big issues that you're fighting at the moment?
Definitely sexual harassment. That's primarily my major focus within Listen. Also, I think probably my equally large focus would be gender representation, a fair gender representation on festival bills and any kind of lineup, basically. APRA membership, I mean, 20% of APRA members are female, and there hasn't really been any conversation around why there's only 20% of their members are female. What are the barriers either preventing women from entering the music industry, and like, what are the barriers for women who are actually playing music and not valuing their music enough to think they can earn money from it or register themselves for royalties, and that people would actually listen to the music that they're recording. So it's about kind of bringing about that conversation to question those things, highlight them, and get everyone thinking about their involvement in those barriers.
And do you kind of, I guess, push these topics for people to think about from a sense where you believe that it should be done from a self-reflection point of view, encouraging people to educate themselves and reflect on what they're doing? Or would you prefer a more hardline approach, like enforcing quotas on festival bills and other kind of initiatives that really force the people that make the decisions to go outside patriarchal structures to find their artists?
I think a more organic way of doing things is always going to get the best response from people. Like, people don't react very well to red tape.
Yeah.
And so enforced quotas is a really difficult thing to apply. But at the same time, things are happening at a very slow rate. And, you know, people have been talking about, you know, equal representation in many areas for a long time, and we haven't seen a lot of improvement. I don't have all of my thoughts worked out on that yet, because I have kind of varying opinions on it. I think, you know, the business side of me knows that it's not entirely always easy to have a 50% quota for women in everything, especially, you know, major festivals where there's someone deciding on the, you know, that you're restricted by capital, and so someone's kind of pulling at your strings, telling you who you should be booking, and there's label affiliations. And I understand that is a very difficult thing, but I'd be very happy if we actually just saw improvement. And, you know, I'd like to see targets. Like, I think, quote, like having a 50% quota now is probably not realistic, but, you know, staged quotas is probably a good idea. Realistic staged quotas.
Something for the industry to work towards, because I guess spotlighting from labels and stuff like that comes into play as well. I mean, festival bills are in some ways obliged. If a, you know, artist has released something recently, then they're going to do the festival rounds after that as the natural cycle of things. I mean, what responsibility do labels have to sort of pick up, I don't know, a young genderqueer artist from a rural area and be like, they're amazing. Like, what is their responsibility in trying to spotlight these artists to get them on the festival bills?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think there is a really deep social responsibility, and I think everyone should be aware that they all have a social responsibility to diversify their lineups. And, you know, festivals are tastemakers. They're the ones who are highlighting what is cool, and they're the ones encouraging people to listen to certain artists. I know that, you know, throughout my history of going to music festivals, I often won't have heard of a lot of people on the lineups. Say, for instance, Meredith and Golden Plains, they're quite diverse lineups musically. So I'll listen to all the artists before I go to the festival, and I'll hear a bunch of stuff I've never heard before, and that's because the festival is highlighting it for me. So I think festivals need to recognise that they have the ability to change taste, and they have the ability to really, you know, equalize the disparity of genders and diversity in general. Like, there's not a lot of like female people of color you see on festival bills as well. Like that's a huge minority. And but when you do see diversity on a lineup, you get really excited. I mean, I do personally. If I see a whole lot of diversity, I think, wait, this is going to bring a really good vibe to the festival because there's going to be a diverse crowd there.
And you, I guess you get to expose these artists to an audience that they would never pull organically. I'm just thinking back to Falls Festival this last year, and they had Big Frida on the New Year's Eve lineup, and I thought that was a really cool decision to put, you know, gender diverse, you know, woman of color, like top of bill. And people had never seen a Big Frida show before. You know, I was in the mosh pit and people were like, what is this? And hopefully that sort of started changing things for them.
Yeah, totally.
Which is really cool. You know, just because we've been talking about exposing artists that don't really get represented well, do you have any people that you're just loving? GLBTIQ artists, gender diverse artists, women, anyone that you think people should do an old Google on?
Habits are awesome. Habits are so great. They've got a really good vibe about them. And it's really awesome to see them being booked on some really decent science festivals as well.
Paradise will be cool for them.
Paradise will be really great. That's an exposure to a whole bunch of, you know, young hipster kids who might not have a really diverse friendship group. So, yeah, that's really exciting. I think that's a big step for them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. So everybody get on and do some Googling and jump on listenlisten.org as well. Thank you for coming in and having a chat with me, Katie.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime.
I love a chat.
Oh, I love a chat too.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.